America is an amazing country filled with wonderful people who do incredible things. But too often, the media and liberal politicians ignore big parts of our nation and the people who make it work. So I'm speaking with leaders and policymakers who deal with real problems every day. I'm Ronna McDaniel, and this is Real America. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Katie Britt, the Republican nominee for Senate in Alabama. We're going to cover everything from Biden's failed economic agenda, his decision to transfer student loan debt to the working class, Alabama Senate race, and so much more. I am so excited for you to be on my podcast. Welcome, Katie Britt, to Real America.
I am thrilled to be here. I just appreciate the opportunity.
I'm so excited. I think you're amazing. First of all, congratulations on winning your primary.
Thank you.
You're going to be the next senator from Alabama. I know you can't say that, but I can.
Well, we are working hard to make it that way, crisscrossing the state. But I will tell you, thank you for everything that you're doing for the party, your leadership. I mean, you're amazing. And what you have done for all of us and for women across America to see you in this leadership position has inspired so many people.
Thank you. Well, now I like you better because I was like, she's so young. She's so pretty. I don't know if I can handle.
No, you're
so great.
I've had so many people on the trail ask me how old I was.
Yeah.
Or I could tell they were trying to get at it. You know?
They're trying to figure it out.
100%. So if I said to someone, you know, like, oh, I graduated with so-and-so in the audience, after the event, I would see everyone flood to that person and ask them, so now when was it you graduated? And I'm like, I see you.
So, I see you trying to figure out my age.
So I learned to say, you know, my opponent has been on the ballot for 40 years, and I'm actually going to be 40 years old on the ballot, and then point out a number of the gentlemen who have gone to the Senate. I said, I'm older than Tom Cotton when he went to the Senate. I'm older than Marco Rubio when he went to the Senate. I'm older than Josh Hawley when he went to the Senate. I said, so we've sent good young conservatives. It's just we haven't sent a female of that age yet.
Which I'm so excited because you will be the youngest woman in the Senate.
Yes.
But you will also be, and I think this is so key, you're going to be the only one with school-age kids and young kids serving in the Senate. And I can't think of a time where that voice and what you are as a young mom, and you call yourself a mama on a mission.
Mama on a mission. That's right.
You are just going to be so needed and such a breath of fresh air for the United States Senate. I know I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it's going to be exciting.
Well, the magnitude of that is real because this is a time in our country and particularly our party. I mean, we are the party of parents.
Yeah,
we're the party of working families. And it feels like our elected leaders have forgotten about those very people. And so to have the opportunity to speak and to talk about things in a real way. You know, I mean, as you know, we're running carpool. We're putting gas in our car to run carpool. Then we're going to get the school supplies. We're seeing the increase there. And we're also dealing with our children, coming home and asking questions and realizing that the educational space needs to be a place where we create a foundation for success for them and not a place of indoctrination. And so I think you've seen parents, mamas across the country.
This is the election. That should be our whole mantra.
It is.
We're all mamas on a mission. School boards. But I do want to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, please.
Because a lot of people don't know you. You're from Alabama, obviously. But you grew up in a humble town in Enterprise, Alabama.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about your family and your growing up in Alabama, and then we'll get to college
and
meeting your husband.
Oh, which that's a really good story, actually. So growing up, I grew up in a more rural community in Coffee County, which is it's an agriculture, military, small business community. And to me, those are some of the greatest things about America. And it was clear to me early on that the most important things in life are faith, family, and freedom. And I saw that from not only my parents, but from, you know, people all across the city. And I will say my parents were small business owners, and that also gave me kind of a unique window into
what type of business.
So my mom actually ran a dance studio. She was the oldest of five and didn't have the opportunity to go off to school. She needed to work and help with her siblings. And so she started that. And so she was a dance teacher.
And that's very cool.
It is. And then I'm the oldest of four girls. So you can imagine
lots of dance recitals.
Lots of
costumes.
And then my dad actually had a hardware store. And then my grandfather, it was a third generation restoration business. And my grandfather kind of saw the shift in America with bigger box stores and those kinds of things and knew they needed to diversify and started selling boats. So he was actually a boat salesman.
Really?
Yeah. So I learned there too, particularly when I was young. I mean, I saw my parents work 6 or 7 days a week. And so you realize that good employers cut their check last, because you could feel that at home. And then, you know, that the best thing the government can do in most every single situation is just get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Just get out of the way. So I'm so proud to be from there. And I think not only the kind of people, but the values that are instilled in you. And they teach you about the American dream. My parents, you know, always said, if you keep your head down and you work hard, you know, the goal is for you to be able to achieve more than us. And I feel like I'm living that dream. And that's actually part of what drove us into this, is just protecting that for our kids.
Is your family just so excited?
They are.
Do they love campaigning with you, you know, and getting on the trail?
They have been wonderful.
I mean,
everyone from obviously my husband to our children, to my parents, to my sisters, to aunts and uncles. I mean, everybody.
How fun.
Yeah.
It's such a family.
It is. My uncle's a dentist in North Alabama. And every patient that came in, bless their heart, like literally had to hear about me.
And they're stuck.
If
he's doing their teeth,
they're stuck.
They're hearing about his niece, Katie Britt.
That's exactly right.
So you go to University of Alabama,
yeah.
And you become the student body president, right?
Yes.
And you end up dating somebody who's on the football team. Was he captain of the football team?
Yes.
Wesley. I've met your husband, by the way.
He is a giant.
He is like one of the biggest people, human beings, and not in like a mean
no,
way.
No, he
like
really is. He's 6'8".
He's a football player.
320. I can find him in every room.
320.
Every room. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every room.
And but he's so fun.
He really is.
You guys are the cutest couple.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
How did you guys end up dating?
Okay. So we both obviously went to Alabama. My mom is super tough love, right? So I'm the oldest of four girls. And I think kind of going back to that work ethic and, you know, standing on your own 2 feet, my mom sent me to orientation and to move in by myself. Yes.
By yourself?
By myself. My sister's friends call her Stone Cold. So if that
wow.
tells you anything. So she
said,
I can't
even imagine that. I just took my daughter to school.
Can you imagine?
No, she would be in tears.
And she said, if you can't handle this, you need to come home. I thought, okay, well, it's okay. My dad felt differently, but mom said, you're doing it by yourself.
You go, mom.
So I got there. I was kind of terrified in orientation and, you know, nervous. And being from a smaller town, you know, you're kind of intimidated by everybody from a big city. And sitting there, and luckily somebody that I knew walked up and said, Katie Boyd. And I said, hey, Matt. And first person he introduced me to was Wesley Britt. He said, this is one of my dear friends, Wesley Britt. And they were both on the football team together. So then I go to register for classes. And in Tuscaloosa, the athletes and the honors kids register first. I'm not going to tell you which one of them probably gets priority. but we ended up, I walked out of there and a gentleman stopped me and said, hey, my name's Justin Smalley. Do you mind giving me a ride home? And I thought, wait. He said, I got to wait on my friend. Sure enough, it was Wesley Britt.
No way.
And then I went to our first class. Wesley was in the class. So we ended up being best friends. We went to lunch together every Friday, all 4 years of school, never dated. And that continued for
and
7 years.
And he's a big star football player.
Yeah.
So you're
like
just
you said,
best friends, but not
best
dating.
Best friends, not dating. And we're best friends for 7 years before we ever dated. And he was with the Patriots, actually, when we started dating. And I was working for Senator Shelby. And he had called. They lost the AFC championship game. So he was so bummed. And he said, hey, do you mind, like, riding home with me? And, you know, I can pick you up. That way I don't have to ride all this way by myself. And I said, well, I'm actually going to be in Alabama with Shelby. But then we ended up in the same space that night, believe it or not. And, you know, it was one of those things when you're best friends with someone for that long, you kind of know it's going to go one of two ways. And I didn't want to lose my best friend. But then the next day, my cousin had gotten really sick. And so Wesley, after I finished with Shelby, picked me up and took me to the hospital in Birmingham to see him. And my uncle said, where are you taking Katie next week for her birthday? And he said, oh, well, she'll be back in D.C. And lo and behold, I said, well, actually, I'll be back here with Shelby. I'll be in Huntsville. And he said, well, where are you going to take her? And so then
you went out for your birthday?
We went out for my birthday. That was our first date.
And that was our first
date.
And
we got engaged in June, so February to June, and then got married the next March.
I mean, next time I see Wesley, I am going to be like, lame that it took you so long. I'm sorry.
You should hear him. That's what he tells people. He says, it took me 7 years to get a kiss. And I'm like, oh, God, too much information. Stop.
Too much information. Okay, so now— You guys are so great. And he's got it. There's no bigger fan of you. And the reason I say this and I love it is because my husband's so supportive of me in this job. And
you can't
be a senator. You can't be chair of the RNC unless you have a husband or a spouse.
And you have a real teammate. And you understand
that. Yeah, I totally get that. And so when I saw Wesley and just him beaming and so proud of you, it just touched my heart. And I love you guys. Now you live in Montgomery.
Yes.
And you've got two kids.
Yes.
Bennett and Ridgeway.
That's right.
All right. Names? How did you come up with those names?
Yeah,
I know we're not talking about politics at all.
No.
This is girlfriend.
Okay. This is even better. Wesley, and to your point earlier, like he quit his job for us to do this.
Okay.
And there are not many 40-year-olds anywhere, but 40-year-old men that would do that. But he really believed.
So he left the NFL.
Yes. Well, he had already left the NFL, but he was working. We actually both went back to school. So we were married. When he finished playing, we went back. I went back to law school when he went back and got his MBA. We did that with basically two newborns. Our children are, 11 and a half months apart. And we were both back in school trying to kind of sort of figure that out. But he left his job for us to do this. And so, yes, we have these two children and they are incredible. Little girl Bennett and little boy Ridgeway.
How old?
They're 13 and 12.
Wow.
So yeah, Ethan's 11 seventh
months.
Grade.
11.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
sure a lot. Is. That's close.
It sure is.
So you decide to run for Congress. But let's talk about first, you work for Senator Shelby, as you talked about. And then you came to Alabama and you ran the Alabama Business Council.
Yes.
And you focused on bringing jobs and business to Alabama. Talk about your passion behind that. And how did that inform you as you were running for Senate?
You know, Rana, that having that opportunity to come back. So having been Shelby's chief of staff, I had a front row seat to the challenges and opportunities of our state. And I am a big believer that I live in a great state with great people and that we have a great story to tell. Elevating the right people to tell that story and fight for us is critically important. And so when I got back to the Business Council, I thought, what can I do in this role to make things better? And one of the first things we did was bring in small business and rural communities really into the fold. It's the heartbeat of our state.
Yeah.
Main Street and every community is so much about identity and who they are and makes particularly small communities thrive. So we worked really hard to make sure that we cut, regulation, that you're working to create an environment where these businesses can thrive, that you're looking at all the different things that they're dealing with and being a true advocate for the little guy.
Yeah.
And then
you get that because of the hardware store and the dance studio.
Yes. And then you also look at rural communities and kind of some of the things that they're dealing with. And broadband, comes to mind first and foremost. And I think we all saw during the pandemic how important it is for us to, if we're going to have 21st century jobs and a 21st century economy, have 21st century infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's school children or whether it's small business or agriculture, which is 20% of the economy in Alabama, precision agriculture isn't tomorrow. It's today. And so making sure we have connectivity. And when we started this campaign, we were 47th in the nation when it came to connectivity. And now we've moved up to 41st, but I know that we've got to do better. And then you look at getting people back in the workforce. We have a really low unemployment rate in Alabama, but our labor participation rate is not where it needs to be. And making
sure— Why do you think that is?
It got worse, obviously, during the— During the pandemic and Biden paying people more to stay home than you can earn kind of on a hard day's work. And so changing the culture and getting people back to realizing this country was built on hard work and that's, how you achieve, I think is important. And that's something I'm definitely going to focus on in the Senate.
So you've got the nomination. It was a tough nomination.
It was a really
tough primary.
I mean,
everybody was watching, Alabama, and then you have the runoff. But you secured the nomination. What are you hearing from voters? What are if you were going to list the top two, three things that you're hearing every day on the campaign trail, what are the concerns that voters have right now? And what are they asking you about what you're going to do as a U.S. senator?
Yeah, so obviously inflation is crushing everyone. The first people I heard that from, Rana, would be more senior, more mature population.
Fixed income.
Yes, people who've had the opportunity to retire. And I had a gentleman stop me at a gas station, and he just said, I've done everything they told me to. I worked hard. I'm 77 years old. I just retired. And now I can't make ends meet. And he said, I'm at this gas station because I'm picking up the night shift. And we see it from that to families that are working, young families that are just struggling to pay the grocery bill and the rent or the mortgage and put gas in their car. So inflation would be top. And then I would also say, you know, when you talk to small business, getting people back to work mm-hmm. has been critically important. And when you look at that, you know, people kind of go in different directions on that. But I do think mental health has been an issue that we've talked about on the campaign trail since day one, and that I hear from everybody, whether we're talking about teachers or law enforcement officers or people, you know, CEOs of hospitals or anyone in between. They say that's the number one issue they deal with every single day.
Just getting people back in the labor force.
Yes.
I hear it all the time in Michigan too. It's just so hard to find people to work. I tell the joke that, you know, my son was working this summer. He was 17 and he went on Indeed. I didn't know that there was this website Indeed.
Yeah.
He got more job offers than I've ever seen in my life. I mean, day they were coming through because the workforce is so depleted.
It really is.
That's coming from Biden? Do they understand they paid people to stay out of the workforce? Do they understand that the stimulus and overstimulating our economy and pushing so much money into our economy caused prices to rise?
They do. And I will say that people are really frustrated because, you know, usually you see it from one industry or, you know, maybe a certain occupation. It's all the way across the board. I mean, it is every single channel. Like I mentioned, people are looking to get people to fill jobs. And they see Biden continuing to spend more. I mean, and everybody knows the more you spend, that's not helping inflation. Just taxing and spending our way out of it, that's not going to work. That's going to make it worse. And so people are angry. And then they see a president that isn't focused on Americans and what they need to be able to provide for their family and to give their children a better opportunity. And I think that is why, Rana, you're seeing parents get off the sidelines, is because for the first time, we are looking at leaving our children with less opportunity than we had.
Yeah.
And less freedom, for that matter.
Well, he certainly doesn't care about Alabamans.
No.
Let's be honest.
No.
I mean, you're a state that he flies over. I'm from a state that he flies over. He loves his friends in New York and California.
Yes.
But he doesn't care about these working class voters and rural voters who are struggling. And this brings me to what they just most recently did, which is coming out of a pandemic. And this makes me a mama on a mission. Mm-hmm. I am a mad mama on a mission.
Tell me.
I am so mad when I see that 9-year-olds are now at a 30-year low in reading and math scores.
Oh, gosh.
I am so mad that we have 72% absentee, mm-hmm. Chronic absenteeism. I am mm-hmm. so mad that a million kids, mostly in urban communities, didn't show up.
Yeah.
They're lost.
That's right.
That have never logged on last year. And what did the Biden administration do? Instead of saying, you know what, these kids are facing lifelong deficits. It's going to impact their earning potential. We have left them behind mm-hmm. by Democrat governors and our affiliation to the unions, our loyalty to the unions. What did they do? They said, you know what, we're going to go give student loan forgiveness to the kids who've already made it.
Who
graduated college. You know why? Because they can vote.
It's actual insanity.
But your kids can't vote. My 17-year-old can't vote. They're fine leaving our kids behind. It makes me so mad. What are you hearing?
No,
about
you're
this?
Exactly right. And then people are also furious. People are seeing what, you know, is happening in DC. And obviously these children are already behind, our children across the country, to your point, down in reading and in math scores at a record low. Then we're gonna say you have to have this vaccine to be able to go back to school and be educated. It is absolutely absurd. And people are furious. People have had enough. I mean, it's just enough is enough. And then when you look at the student loan, not forgiveness, but transfer, it's people like my mom that we talked about earlier that chose to not go to school because she couldn't afford it and she needed to work to provide for her family. And it's people like her that are going to be saddled with debts of people that are moving on and
that they willingly took on.
Absolutely.
They made a contract.
And that's,
they said, if you put me through school, I'll pay back this debt. These aren't people who didn't know what they were doing. So why does your mom, who built this dance studio, have to pay off that debt?
Right.
I do not understand. And
I don't either.
Heaven forbid they go to the universities and all their intellectual elite friends.
That's
and say,
right.
Hey, maybe you should
exactly
lower
right.
tuition rates.
They care.
Maybe you should use your endowment.
They care more about that. You know what's happening with the professors and keeping their interest than they do.
Yeah,
about
we don't
actually
want to make the professors at Harvard
exactly.
mad.
Exactly. Exactly.
But let's make sure the working class voters, the Uber, the Lyft. Lyft driver, the mom and pop shop.
And think about what they're teaching them. Think about what they're teaching them.
It makes me so mad.
They're teaching them that there aren't consequences and that you don't have to follow through and that the government, they want to continue to bail everyone out because they want to buy voters. And I think we have to just say, absolutely not. And that's not what this country was built on.
Totally.
Not at all.
And your voice, being a mom with kids in school.
Yes.
You will be a champion for all these mamas and all these dads who are running for school board, who are being called domestic terrorists,
yes.
who are under investigation. People don't realize many of them are under investigation by the Department of Justice.
Absolutely.
By the Biden administration. These are people who care about their kids. And we have a government right now that says parents shouldn't have a say in their education, and you're going to be that voice. Do you know how critical that's going to be, how amazing this is for our party, for our country?
I am humbled to have the opportunity to fight for parents and to fight for these kids. I mean, you've mentioned it just now, education. They're concerned about all the wrong things instead of creating that foundation, because when you look at these math scores and you look at these reading scores, it is a punch in the gut, because for so many of these kids, particularly where I'm from, you know, I believe that your zip code shouldn't determine your opportunity. But unfortunately, if you don't have an education, you know, a good educational foundation, that chance is limited. And if kids aren't reading on grade level by third grade, their chance of graduating from high school goes down 4 times. And wow. then if you don't graduate from high school, your chance of being arrested in your lifetime goes up 5 times.
Really?
So if you look at that and you look at what we're looking at, even food stamps, you know, 75% of people who drop out of high school end up on food stamps and 90% of them on welfare. And so you look at what we're creating and you look at what the pandemic and what Democrats allowed. If it were up to them, we would likely still be remote in a lot of areas, or even what they're trying to do with the vaccine. We need to take a look at not pushing this ideology that they want to, but rather creating a foundation for success, which means building blocks that this country was built on. And that's what we've lost.
Well, I think, I don't know who said it, but somebody said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe them. That's right. You better.
And when I see the Democrat Party see what's happening to our kids and then choosing not to help our kids. And it's very personal for me because I'm in the People's Republic of Michigan under Gretchen Whitmer. My kids were remote. Mm-hmm. I see it in my son. I see how hard this has been to come back after mm-hmm. the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And no, they don't care. Like you said, D.C., the mayor just said, any kid 12 and older who doesn't have the vaccine can't come back to school. That's going to mean about 40% of the kids.
Do you realize this is America? America.
They can't come to school.
Mm-mm.
And those parents should be able to make a choice
That's
about
exactly
that.
Right.
So I just think what you're doing is so critical. Let's talk a little bit about a couple other things in regards to Alabama. Alabama is a huge defense state. You've
yes.
got NASA there. I know you're a big fan of our military men and women.
Absolutely.
What are some of the things that you're hoping to do in the Senate to support our national defense and especially the people in Alabama who are going to be looking
yeah.
to you?
So one of the things, and I mentioned it earlier, the community I grew up in is a military community. So I lived right outside the gates of Fort Rucker. And when you grow up in a place like that, Rana, you realize not only the incredible sacrifice that our servicemen and women make every single day, but you realize that sacrifice is not just theirs. It's that of their entire family, because you sit next to their children in class while their parents are gone for months on end, and then some of them, you know, never have the opportunity to return home. And so I am a big believer that we need leaders who will never leave our soldiers blind on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And when they return home and conclude their honorable service, our veterans must be treated like the first class citizens that they are. And so taking a look and making sure that we continue to use the technologies that we need to make sure that we can fight in the 21st century. And you look at China and what an actual threat they are and what military capabilities we need to fend off that threat. You look at the bases that we have in Alabama. So we have a number of bases in Alabama, and we are really proud of the work that the men and women do there. And we are a big believer in the state of Alabama that we understand that national defense means a great deal to Alabama, but we believe that Alabama means a great deal to national defense. So making sure that we understand in the Senate and that my colleagues understand that you actually achieve peace through strength. And that means that we have the best, most well-equipped military in the entire world and that we keep it that way. And so I'm going to fight every day in the Senate to make sure that that's the case. And then also take a look, like I said, at the total picture. And that when our veterans move on to civilian life, that they can do it in a way that creates dignity and continued opportunity for them in this great country that they defended.
Well, when you want people to join the military, it's really important for them to see how you treat people who've served already.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly right.
When you say, come serve your country, part of that calculation is how do you treat the people who've come back or who've left? And I think that's such a key point, and you're going to be such a great voice for that. I'm going to end with some fun questions. Because I asked you this earlier, but how do the Auburn fans treat you on the trail? Because you're like the biggest Alabama family. Right? And am I going to cause you problems by saying this? But are the Auburn fans tough on you?
Yes. Well, yes, you know,
there's no football state like Alabama.
That's right. Well, I will have to say first, I've had a number of Auburn fans that are tremendous supporters and that were right with us out of the gate. But on the trail, that has been one of the most interesting questions I have gotten. And I will say for the people who don't know, the Iron Bowl in Alabama, the Alabama-Auburn game, I mean, family split over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I had a woman that asked me, and this has actually happened more than once on the trail, but just said, I have one issue with you, one issue. And I thought, well, that's good that we've narrowed it down to one.
Yeah, I can handle one.
Let's do it. You know what I'm thinking? I actually really kind of poured my heart and soul into the campaign website and put, I mean, a number of issues out there, you know, tackling the things we've been talking about, education, mental health, broadband, China, the border, you know, all of the things. And so I thought, well, it could be a number of things that she has an issue with me on. And she said, I'm just worried that you're too much of a Bammer. And I laughed. And then she did not. And I realized, oh, she's serious. This is for real.
Football is serious.
This is for real. So it has been fun.
Did you get her to convert?
I did. I kind of sort of had to get in there. I said, well, ma'am, it's interesting. I said, you know, Coach Tuberville, and to rewind a little bit on the very first week of the trail, I had someone say, I am so glad that we're going to have both political parties represented in the state. And I said, oh, no. I said, I think you're confused. I said, Coach Tuberville is a good conservative Republican. Like, we're good. And they said, no. I mean, we'll have a former Auburn football coach and the wife of an Alabama Crimson Tide player.
Exactly. So that is as bipartisan as you can get in Alabama.
So I've had to tell them that. I told them I sang the Auburn fight song. So as SGA president, we had lost the game. So I had to go to the Auburn, so I can still sing every word. And I think that may have helped me get a few of those votes back. But it's a real thing. But
it's amazing.
Auburn's got a lot of incredible things going on. I was there last week, and I'm really proud of what the institution is doing and certainly look forward to helping
continue
that.
Oh, you sound like a true politician right now.
No, Wesley, we went to an Auburn basketball game, which is real. Bruce Pearl.
I love Bruce Pearl.
Okay.
Bruce Pearl just sent a signed basketball to my son.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I love Coach Pearl.
Isn't he the best?
He's the nicest man.
Seriously.
I love him so much.
Wesley took Ridgeway to the basketball camp. We went to the basketball game. And so I'm on the side, on the court. You know, it was Ole Miss, you know, SEC rivalries.
Yeah.
It was Ole Miss Auburn and doing the whole AU. Wesley said, no, that's a little bridge too far for me.
No way.
Wesley's not going there.
Wesley. Okay, you can do it, but Wesley's not going there. I want to come campaign with you.
Please.
At an Alabama.
Oh, we have to get you down.
Football game, Auburn football game,
okay.
Whichever.
Let's do it. You should see the Alabama Auburn game because it doesn't get.
I want to come and campaign with you. But I am just so thrilled to have you on my podcast. Thank you for all you're doing.
And I am so
excited that we're going to get to call you a senator from the great state of Alabama. Thank you, Katie Britt.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me, Rana.
I'm Rana McDaniel, and this is what Republicans stand for. Join us next time on Real America. Paid for by the Republican National Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee, www.gop.com.